This week in Your Parents' Basement, it's one of the cutest shmups we've ever seen. From 1993, we're playing Pocky and Rocky, developed and published by Natsumi for the Super Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the guy who conquered the slopes this past month. It's Todd Brisket.
Last night, we were having a party in the woods when a stranger wearing a black mantle appeared. I tried to talk to him. That is the last thing I remember. Hmm. And also, it was Bill Cosby.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. The warning was here all along. And our other co-host, he's proud to be the Eagles' new third-string quarterback heading into the offseason. It's Huell Hauser.
Might be second string. Ha-ha, I am your adversary.
Very, very direct and to the point in this game.
It's a line from the game.
Yes. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at ypbpodcast.com. You can buy the Japanese version of this game for only $89. So, it's practically a steal. This week's game is Pocky and Rocky. Released in 1993, this game is a colorful scrolling shooter. You play as Pocky, a young shrine maiden, or Rocky, a small tanuki, or raccoon. Rocky used to be a member of the Gorgonzola Goblins until he was cured by Pocky. However, the other goblins have gone insane again, and it's up to Pocky and Rocky to save them. This is a game I had heard of, but I had not even played until this week. Todd, you nominated this game for coverage. What and why did you think of it?
What and why I thought of it. This is a game that I enjoyed from my youth, playing it as a frequent rental in my house.
Oh,
the thing that I liked about this game is it is a shmup-em-up. A walk-em shmup.
Because I mean,
shmup. Yeah.
Yes.
Steve said called it a shmup, but it's more of like a third person shmup 'em up.
Mm. I mean, you have a melee attack.
There's shmup elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you have a bomb you can drop on the screen.
It mostly reminded me of a shmup because the enemies just come at you fast and furious, and
definitely.
Like you can't, you normally can't just like stand there and rest. Like they just keep
spawning
in a lot of places.
To me, a shmup is you're on rails. Like that's what I think of in a shmup. But in this, you can move around a bit. Like you can go up and down, you can go right and left depending on the.
You have freedom
level.
Of movement.
Yeah, so you can move around a little better because it's like a top down third person, but definitely like it's like two thirds shmup.
I mean, there is a game that we have played that I'd say reminded me like. I don't know, 75% to 90% of this game, and I feel like Todd is going to mention it at some point. So,
is it the one we played like 3 weeks ago?
No,
that one's more straight up shmup 'em up.
Yeah, that one's
twinkle,
a puzzle
twinkle
shmup.
Star, twinkle Star Sprites.
Twinkly
no,
Star
Todd,
Sprites.
Do you know what I'm?
Well, Mystical Ninja,
yes,
Legend of the Mystical Ninja. Is what this game is often compared to. Not only because it's more of a Wacom shmup, but also because it is full of just Japanese bizarreness going on.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's like the chibi style of the big head, little body, similar to Mystical Ninja.
The classic, Japanese mythology enemies like the Kappa frogs and people with long necks.
There's lucky cats. There's all that stuff.
Yeah,
but I mean, style-wise, it's probably comparable, but I don't think the gameplay is that similar.
It's not, I agree. It's not totally comparable. Mystical Ninja is more of a beat-em-up, towards the beat-em-up
like,
side.
It's more of like an adventure-ish beat-em-up adventure game, but this is very shmuppy.
Yeah. So, going back to why this was a frequent rental for me is that it is a co-op multiplayer game.
Ah, yes.
So, two people at the same time on the same team.
You can
play as the girl.
And you could be Rocky.
Or the Rocky. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, the Tanuki in Japan, the raccoon in the States.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't understand why the raccoon is considered a goblin. That did not make sense to me. Like, they call him a goblin, but he's just
a raccoon. He's like a reformed goblin.
But no, here's the thing. If he was a goblin, would he be like a monster? But he's a raccoon.
Tanukis in the Japan, they can shapeshift, as evidenced by the documentary Pompoko from Miyazaki.
I thought you meant the documentary Super Mario Brothers 3.
And the corresponding, the supplementary piece.
The documentary
video game Super Mario 3.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Tanukis in Japan, what they do is they can shapeshift, but here's the best part about them shapeshifting, is they use their scrotal sacs to do the shapeshifting.
What?
This is legit.
What? They like pull it over themselves?
They're magical, and they pull it over themselves and take on different forms. It is completely 100% fact.
I gotta find out about this.
Is that a YPB fact? It sounds like one.
I think it's
it is
YPB / real fact.
That Tanuki's in Japan shaped.
Okay.
Wow. Wow, we learned something today.
I remember the famous GIF of the giant raccoon with the giant swinging skirtle.
I mean, that's a thing they do there.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. I'll have to look up this later. Oh, wait. I think I found a good picture. Oh, boy. No, please. Don't wait for me. This is an audio podcast.
Oh, sorry. I was doing my own Googling.
don't wait for me. But, I guess. This is like a mythical thing. That's interesting.
Oh, my God.
This guy is kicking it directly in the sack, too.
Oh, they take punishment, man.
He's like, don't change.
If you ever see the classic Miyazaki film joint, Pompoko, it's a kind of a mystery why it never came stateside and as popular as his other movies. But those things take abuse, man. Spoiler alert for this 20-year-old cartoon.
Wait. There's four of them. They've tied their sacks together.
Using like fishnets.
In a giant
fishing
net.
Spoiler alert for the this 20-year-old cartoon. They use it. They eventually learn how to use it to fly.
Oh
they
my
fly
god!
Around.
Oh, this is amazing. Wow. I was not prepared for this at all.
Oh,
holy crap!
Now we figured out the real reason Todd wanted to do this game.
It's I know
he
wanted to
bring knew
this
about
up.
This. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh goodness. God. Yeah, that you know. This one with them tying their sacks together and fishing.
That's blowing me away.
It seems like something that would be like in a spoof movie of the 1980s or 90s. Like,
yeah,
you couldn't do it now. If you did it now, the people would be like, oh,
apparently
no,
it was in 1860 too.
That's incorrect.
This is some high class humor for ancient times.
Oh my god.
Holy crap. So anyway, you can play as one of these guys. I don't remember seeing any sack in the game though.
Well, that's where he's pulling all those leaves from that he throws.
Right. Mm. Oh, my God. Wow. This is, wow.
Well, is he, I mean, in the U.S. version, I believe he is a raccoon. Well, they call him a raccoon. I don't think they actually change his design at all. Like, he looks more like Tanuki.
But they also refer to him as a goblin. So maybe in Japan, since they were like shapeshifting mythical beings, they were considered goblins.
Yeah, but I think they just mean goblin as like, oh, the little scamp of a being, like
aroused about.
Yeah. Like not like, you know, green skinned token goblin.
So. Right. Yeah.
But there's
other enemies
in the game also called goblins. So
yeah.
It's kind of a gray area.
It is, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should talk about the actual gameplay.
Yeah.
Because
you got wildly distracted.
I did not get far in this one.
No, this is
it's a toughie. It's a toughie.
It's a very hard game. This is a very hard
It's hard. It's also very short. So this is a game where once you get the patterns down, you know how to beat a stage. It goes by quickly after that. So there's only five stages or six stages, I believe. And they're all pretty short. Like you can beat this entire game if you know how to do it. You can beat it in like 40 minutes, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. The playthrough I found was 45 minutes, but it was also like not exactly speed run, but they also like played perfectly. So
ooh. Yeah, the speed run is in 1958.
Whoa.
So that's pretty good. But it's one of those games, even though this game was hard, I could not get past the second stage, and I gave it a try when I was sober. And I still couldn't do it.
That's
a lot of
dedication
fun,
to the show.
Yeah, I really hope you do that most weeks.
You know. Depends on what kind of week it is.
I guess so.
But this was a fun game to play. Like, it was fun to just sling those leaves at enemies. Yeah. I played as Rocky.
It's a little romp. Of course, you got to play as Rocky if you play this game. I mean, if you're playing as the girl, what are you doing, man? Come on.
I mean, they have similar attacks.
They do. They have similar, identical attacks skill-wise, but they have slightly different features, which is that I believe the girl walks around slightly quicker and her projectiles are weaker but fire faster. And the Rocky Raccoon is slower, but his dive attack hurts enemies more. So there's slight little trade-offs. I mean, in general, there's not much of a difference. Just a slight little trade-offs.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because the manual says Pocky and Rocky move at different speeds. And sliding is different. Like, they don't tell you what the difference is. It's like, they're different.
They don't tell you which one is which.
Yeah. They want you to explore, to learn.
Exactly. The speed and distance of Pocky and Rocky sliding are different. Okay. But yeah, they each have a slide dive thing. They each have, like, a combat attack, whether it's the stick or the tail, and they each throw stuff.
Right, and the combat, the melee attack,
the melee,
melee attack. It reflects the projectile back.
Mm-hmm. True.
Oh,
exciting!
See,
but you also have to. The thing about that one is you have to time it correctly, so that if you do it too early, you're going to get hit. Too late, you're going to get hit.
Mm. Oh yeah,
gonna get hit.
Like most things that you try to swing at as they come towards you.
Todd, I forgot to ask you. Did you see the franchise name for this in Japan? And could you read it for us?
Well, I would like you to read it first, and then I will correct your pronunciation.
Best Kiki Kai Kai Nazo no.
That is good.
Kuro Monta.
You did it.
Oh.
Oh, you had more.
You did it.
Hey, you know what? New year, new me.
This game is actually, I don't know if you mentioned, I missed it, but it's a sequel. It's not the first Pocky and Rocky. The first one is actually an arcade game called Kiki Kai Kai, literally Mysterious Ghost World. It's a shoot-em-up. That one is more of a pure shoot-em-up as I know. I've not played it myself, but you're just playing as the raccoon.
Yes. This is an early example of hot licensed IP, because the original game is by Taito.
Give me
Taito.
Want some mustard with my
Taito
French fried taters.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then they licensed it to Natsumi for the two Super Nintendo games.
Natsumi. Taito and Natsumi.
I can't. Oof. quite a combo there.
Yeah. And then after them, there's some other games that we'll get into in a minute here. So I don't know. I couldn't get past stage two. See, even stage two has I think I was up to, I beat 4 mini bosses and then I died. Because you got these two, at 2 different points you fight these big guys who like spit fire at you. Like mm-hmm. they're mini bosses.
The Fire Brothers. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Well, they're they're called Mr. Oboe. Mr. Oboe Brothers.
Mr. Oboe Brothers or Mr. Abobo Brothers?
It is Mr. Oboe. Yes, Mr. Oboe.
He's kind of a cyclops looking guy. I can't tell. I mean, he looks like he either has one gigantic eye or 2 eyes that are kind of merged together.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think at one point you fight 2 of those, and then you also fight like this plant thing. And by the time I got through those 3, I ran through all of my lives. So,
yeah, this is a really hard game. just putting that out there.
Yes. Barely scratched the surface.
I did not get far. I did watch a video.
It is a tough, tough game.
Some things know? I like every level is like very unique. Like they're all different settings. So I like that part.
So yeah. I do like. Do you like those? I'm trying to pull up who their name is, but the tiny little Mr. Oboes. I think they are little cyclopses. They run onto the screen and do an elbow drop.
Oh,
try to do an elbow drop on you.
Yeah, they kind of do a butt stomp. Yeah, the manual only has a few of the enemies listed. Doesn't have all of them. Huh. So, like, I cannot help you on that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a sprite sheet from this game, so it doesn't display their names.
Okay. Well, there you go.
But it does have the names of the bosses. So the bosses in this game, they all have their own, you know, different attack patterns and what have you. You have Bamboo Warrior, Black Mantle. I think he's the big bad.
That's the boss, yeah.
That's big boss, man. Eagle Knight, who is a eagle wearing a suit of armor. A genie. From Aladdin fame. A ghost knight who is just a magical floating armor. A Gorgonzola octopus, which is a also a cyclops octopus. Octopi. A Gorgonzola vampire. Mm-hmm. A harpy, who is a winged lady. And then Kappa the frog. And Partying Nopino Goblin, who I think is the first stage boss. It's the giant brown-headed guy that throws nuts and berries at you.
Oh. He was partying.
He was. He's getting down. That's how I party.
I have a big bowl of nuts, and I just spit them all over the place. Mm-hmm. When I really want to let loose on the weekend.
You know, here's the thing. Those goblins seem like they're having such a great time. Why would you not want to hang out with those guys?
Like, why are they trying to attack me? Like, they're just having fun.
Yeah.
I'll just join up with them.
Yeah. The stupid raccoon comes along. They get pissed off.
I mean, they're having fun now, but they're probably like the gremlins from like Gremlins 2, where those guys are just having fun at first.
They have a great time. They have a great time.
Yeah, but then, you know, you don't want one of those things like messing up your ice cream.
Or your TV studio.
Yeah. So... You know, you gotta get rid of them.
Not my ice cream. No.
My ice creameries, no.
See, I call them goblins. It's all the same. Gremlins, goblins.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Ghoulies, even. Well, just to touch on where this one is now. Pocky and Rocky was followed by a sequel for the Super Nintendo in 1994, where the duo is trying to stop a marriage between a tyrant and a princess. A third game, Pocky and Rocky with Becky, came out for the Game Boy Advance in 2002, where the title characters have to defeat a demon that has escaped from a magical seal. So, feels weird.
The animal?
No, it's like, it was imprisoned. It was not... It's not literally a magical seal. Because that would be pretty good.
I'd want to play that.
Yeah, I also feel like Pocky and Rocky with Becky, they probably could have thrown a third rhyming name in there.
Becky.
Like, yeah, with Becky. So, I I tried to look up, is that the princess from the second game or something? And either it's not, or people are just so uninterested, they did not care to fill out that detail anywhere. So, final note here. There's another game in the series was planned by Starfish SD for the PlayStation 2 in 2008. However, the developer lost the legal rights to make the game. It's likely that because Taito, the rights holder for Pocky and Rocky, was bought by Square Enix in 2006. So, that hot IP is not being used right now. Starfish SD did release a similar style game, Heavenly Guardian, but it was banned by critics of the day. So, that's where it is now.
Well, someone should pick this up. Someone should make a new Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, for the next game, they would have to have four names in the title. So, Pocky and Rocky with Becky and Galecki.
Stocky. Poochie.
Oh, Poochie would be great.
Poochie would be great for this.
Oh, yeah.
They could set it on his home planet. I'm sure there's lots of weird stuff going on there.
We never found out, yeah. We know he's an alien, but we never saw the home planet.
Well, his rocket blew up on the way back home, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Poochie died on the way back. Could be a prequel. How did Poochie get to Earth? That's the game. Prequels are hot these days.
That is true, yeah.
How did Poochie become Darth Vader? That's what we all need to know.
Yeah, three film arc.
We need 8 hours of that. Yep, do it.
I mean, they do own Poochie right now, so we should.
Oh my god,
we should stop joking about this.
They own the archive of Poochie. I don't know. I don't really know how that works. Let's not get into it.
Don't give him ideas.
Don't give him ideas.
It'll be a Poochie Jar Jar Binks buddy comedy.
Oh god. I kind of want to see
special guest Howard the Duck, who they also own. Anyways, so that's where that one is now.
Okay.
But yeah, this is kind of a game series I feel like they could pick up and remake, and I think it would be well received because it's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. This probably wasn't exactly popular back in the day because I had never heard of it until Todd mentioned it. So I don't know how big it was stateside.
I don't believe
it was popular at all. The only reason I knew about it is because I just saw it on the shelf in my local Blockbuster. It's like, wow, you could be a raccoon or a little girl and fight enemies. I'll try this out.
And I
thought it was great. Became a frequent rental. One thing that bugged me, though, we'll probably never cover it, but we might. Who knows? Pocky Rocky 2, that also was a rental from my local Blockbuster, but for some reason, the copy they had always froze on like the end of the first stage. Didn't matter what you're doing, how good you're doing, what you're doing, or even what you were doing. It always froze at the end of the first stage, and that just frustrated the hell out of me.
That cannot
be. Wow, I wasted my $5 on this? Can't even play it for more $5. Than 5 minutes? Or however much the rentals were back then. This is probably around
$3.
The time. Probably around the time where they expanded it from a 2-day rental system to a 5-day or 1-week system, so they bumped up the price, and that's how long I usually rent a game for, just so I can get my time in on it.
You need to.
So Todd, this is probably the most expensive series we've covered, where the first game is now selling for $100 for the loose cart. The sequel is currently $290. And even the Game Boy Advance game is $102. So it's kind of weird. Because normally if a game like this gets... There are three games in the series. Like, normally at least one of them sold really well, but from those prices, no, it does not seem like any of these sold that well. So
nope.
Okay. I wouldn't Wouldn't think so. None of my friends ever heard about this growing up, so it just might have been one of those low production slash higher quality product that bumps its price up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that obviously bumps its price up now, the fact that it's a game that people like. So, you know, it's different than a bunch of these games we cover where they're bad, and it doesn't matter that they only sold 1,500 copies because nobody wants them anyway. So, anyways, we should move on to most best game of all time, if you have one, Todd.
Yeah, you know, I think we all appreciate this game pretty well. But I did find two reasons why Pocky and Rocky is the most best game of all time. And the first one is titled A Very Fun and Very Underrated Game for the SNES, written by Izinwa in January of 2009. And Izinwa wrote, "This game is just what any action game fan can use for the SNES. It's nonstop, comical, and very intense gameplay is just what any gamer on a Saturday afternoon or even a four-day weekend can use. My only regret is that I didn't own this game sooner. That and, well, it got lost in the shuffle of great SNES games. Still, this is a gem to own. If you don't, you're a fool. 5 stars.
Ooh, that's aggressive.
A hidden gem.
Yeah, like this is a game you can enjoy on a Saturday or a four-day weekend.
Yeah, one day or 4 days. That's it.
I mean, 4 days does... No, that's aggressive. Yeah.
All right, the next one is written by Carol Miller, in December of 2012, and her review is titled Pocky and Rocky Adventures to Begin. And Carol Miller wrote, "I can't wait to give this game as a gift. It looks like a lot of fun. Lots of enjoyment to count on for this game. 5 stars.
Oh.
My favorite kind of review.
Yeah. I can't wait to give this game as a gift.
5 stars.
Also, again, what year did she buy this?
December of 2012. A mere time-stamping our episode, but a mere 7 years ago for us.
Yes. Yeah. Oof. But still, 2012 is, you know, a good 18 years after the heyday of... the Super Nintendo and this game being released.
Yeah, 19. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, little Timmy has the old PlayStation 4, he said. I think I'll get to this game for him.
Mm-hmm. He said he likes video games.
He said he likes those video games, and I know he loves raccoons.
Oh, wow.
That's what we all know about Timmy.
Yeah. I mean, this could be the best game starring a raccoon. I can't think of many others. So,
oh, that's a good salient point.
Guardians of the Galaxy game or something.
I don't know.
Hey, did you forget about me? I don't know how do you do his voice.
Hey, I'm cooking over here.
Did you say I'm cooking over here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, because famously he did get cooked in
his episode 8.
Avengers,
yeah, the latest Avengers.
The
Sly Staccoon and the Thievius Raccoonus, whatever that game series is called.
The thing that one played.
Yeah. It was a game that people liked, I believe. Did a quick Google. The only thing coming up for me, video games featuring raccoons, is a lot of Resident Evil Raccoon City stuff.
Yeah, it does not count.
My mind went to Bucky O'Hare. Like, I feel like maybe there was
definitely a
raccoon. Yeah, but you play as multiple characters in the game. And I think one of them may have been a raccoon, but I'm not sure.
Probably.
Tom Nook from the Animal Crossing series.
That guy.
Marine the Raccoon from Sonic Rush Adventure.
Hmm.
Not too many raccoons in video game lore.
I mean, someone they made the Untitled Goose Game. I feel like the sequel should be a raccoon. Like, they're just as pesky.
Untitled Goose Game 2, The Raccoon.
The Raccoon's Untitled Goose Game 2. All right, well, I actually do not have a one-star Yelp review for this week. So, Huel, did you get a chance to look at the manual for this one?
I did find the manual for Pocky and Rocky for the Super Nintendo. It has a table of contents, a good background on the story, the loose, deep story of the game. Does your normal stuff, controls, attacks. It's got mostly screenshots of what's going on, not a lot of drawings, but a good amount of screenshots, very colorful. Talks about, actually it does, to go back on what I was saying before, it does go through the differences. Because there's a section literally saying difference in play between Pocky and Rocky that I completely missed. So it does tell you the differences between their controls. Goes through the items. We didn't talk about the items much, but there's like shields and upgrades to what you can throw and things like that. And it goes through a few of the enemies, not all of them, but it gives you the names and screenshots. Like the little Christmas tree looking things are actually called Unbees. And I guess they're umbrellas, maybe. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
they
are.
Fun facts you'll learn. So overall, a lot of fun stuff here, but not too crazy. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5 Mario 2s.
Wow. Starting the year on above average note.
Yes, a positive note, for sure.
Wow. Well, I have a rating system. And it is called the Greenwell Rating System.
Oh.
And this week's game is coming in at a Greenwell None. And that's 9.
Wow.
So yeah. it is now the Greenwell Rating System.
Herzog.
But it is still in German. Even though it's the
Herzog
2.
Well, it's just, I was actually reading it in German this week. So... It's weird.
Huh. Okay.
Like in Germany, it's the Greenwell rating system.
Oh, I got it.
So
just check.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Herzog None. For
what's weird is that when you say that, it sounds like none. Like it's a zero.
It's neun. But you know.
I don't think it's annoying at all, Huel.
I see. And to let the whole thing play there. And I don't disagree.
Letting the whole thing play is always punishment for one of us triggering it. Yes. Usually me. So, no, this game is, it's still fun. And I still think it largely accomplishes what it sets out to do. Like it's fun. It's bright and colorful, which I feel like the Super Nintendo, a lot of its games hold up for that reason. Like it's just that, you know, a really nice classic kind of art style, and you know, this is also easy. You can just pick it up and play it, which is a good quality in a video game.
That's true.
And it gives you a little challenge mm-hmm. as well. And like you said, the characters are fun to look at. There's always mm-hmm. always some weird bizarreness going on that you got to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, I don't... You know what? If they made this game now, it would be dark and gritty. Be like... you know.
They need to...
It really would be Rocket Raccoon. Like
they need to make Pocky and Rocky and make the gameplay like the Arkham series. Batman Arkham.
Oh, yeah. Arkham this up. Get those combos.
Combos, man.
Get Mark Hamill in there.
Oh, yeah.
You can expand your scrotal tool sack.
Right.
Oh,
you get upgrades.
Man.
You get upgrades to it. Or like how Batman glides on his cape. Rocky. You know,
exactly.
as we know from that film, that documentary.
That's a big advantage for Rocky.
Oh, yeah. No one ever uses Pocky.
Todd, Did you get a chance to rate this game?
I did. I'll give it a rating on the DuckTales scale. And the DuckTales scale has two primary factors. Primary factor number one is nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have for this game? Primary factor number two is replayability. Would I replay it in these troubling times we live in? Nostalgia, let me mention up top right away. This was a frequent rental for me. I put my hours in as a kid. Pretty good nostalgia for this game. I love the art style as a kid, and it still holds up, like you're saying. It's got that classic cartoonish Nintendo styled look. Like, it feels like it's kind of like a super Japanese themed Mario Brothers. So good nostalgia for this game, this series as a whole. Replayability, pretty good replayability. It is a Wacom shmup,
Right.
So that'll only get you so far. But replayability, like we were saying, it's challenging enough to where if you pick it up maybe once every 5 years, you'll get a little enjoyment out of it, more so than many other games we've played. So those two primary factors being calculated in, I will give Pocky and Rocky a 0.82 DuckTales.
Oh, man. Okay.
Ooh. I mean, you weren't that far off.
I guess not. I went 0.73. I wasn't sure about the replayability, but I knew the nostalgia was high.
Yeah, the nostalgia definitely, I think, factored that in pretty well.
So I was still within 0.1, so that's always my goal. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like some of these, it's really hard. Like, this one, I would not even know where to start. So
it's because I'm an expert at Todd AI that I've been building.
Yeah. Well, you got another data point.
Oh yeah.
So
we'll always need more.
Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say about this one?
No. Pretty much hit all my points. I will say, you know, this is a game people should at least try at once in their life, just to see what's going on. I think it's fun. Some people might get a big kick out of it. It might be one that people not have heard of, and I think they would get some great enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, I think this is a hidden gem for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we should mention that Natsumi is still around, which is always a rarity.
A surprise.
Yep. I believe they are best known for the Stardew Valley of the Past, the Harvest Moon series, and they also did Lufia in this Super Nintendo generation.
Classic JRPG series.
Yes. And then Wikipedia has their, after those two, it's Pocky and Rocky, Rune Factory, which I've never actually played, but I think some people like.
I do have and played Rune Factory 4, and it's a fun time. It's like a mystical, magical Harvest Moon, where you're harvesting magical items from your farm and fighting beasts.
Oh. Then they also have Real Fishing, which I think is that game for the Wii, I think, and it has like a fake fishing reel or something like that.
I remember that being for the Dreamcast, but you're probably right.
I don't know. I remember that being one of the huge
early Dreamcast sellers was people that enjoyed fishing were buying it specifically. One of the first games that came out was this reel you could use with it. But maybe you're right. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. I'm not going to Google this.
And the River King series. So, I don't know. They don't have anything to do with Stardew Valley, do they?
Stardew Valley is its own little independent American-made game. I'm assuming American-made. Western-made game.
Wow,
yes. I'm looking it up. Wow, it's only been out for 4 years. It feels like a lot longer. But, oh well. Anyways, let's move right along to the email portion of the show.
Letters.
Todd, did you get any mails?
Ooh, I did, but let me ask, did you guys get any mails? If you did, then I'll hold mine.
I did.
Okay, I'll hold my email till next week.
I think we need to start the year with an ask, so yeah, let's save your time for that. If you have one, of course.
Mm. Well, Huel, did you get an email?
Well, as just mentioned, yes, I did. And here it is. Dear YPB, what even is this new Xbox? And that's from b.gates@microsoft.com.
Wow. You'd think he would know. Like, he has connections.
Who? What do you mean?
You know, b.gates.
I don't know. I mean, just because he works there doesn't mean he knows everything.
Yeah. Well, are you saying,
Gates
like...
Gates is a pretty common last name.
B, period? Or are you saying it's like B-E-D-O-T? Is that his name?
Yeah, it's B-E-D-O-T Gates.
B dot,
Microsoft.com.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, B dot Gates. That, all right, that makes...
That's a...
Could be Badeau,
French name,
is
it not?
Yeah, maybe it's Badeau. I'm sorry.
Badeau.
I'm sorry, writer.
Badeau Gates.
Yeah, please write in again and let me know how to pronounce it in the future. Badeau Gates.
Okay.
But yeah, what even is it?
You know, I do not really keep up with the Microsoft because I am a PlayStation.
You're a brand loyalist.
Oh man, what a whore!
Well, at this point, like all of my games are in the PlayStation Network thing, so right. I can just,
is
just download them when I want. So
true whore.
Yeah, to. Well, and also just to switch systems at this point would be a huge pain. So, and Nintendo is its own thing. Like, yeah, I'll get a Switch, but...
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, they announced this thing called the Xbox Series X, which is confusing. But it's like this big black tower, this ominous black tower, which I guess is the new console. And it's supposed to be able to play Xbox One games, and then I guess new games coming out for it. So it's just this weird announcement. No one knows if it's a new console, an updated console. It's going to like stream games, going to do all that kind of stuff, but it's just weird looking for the most part.
Oh, I've not read anything about it. This is news to me.
When you say Black Tower, I think of like... the monolith from 2001. Mm-hmm.
Is it
like
is.
That?
Monolith. I will send you the link that I'm looking at, and that's basically what it is.
Ah.
It has like this green grate on the top.
Jesus.
It's just unnecessarily weird looking.
You know, it does. They also made a movie called The Black Tower starring Idris Elba.
Yeah. The famous direct literary adaptation.
The Dark Tower?
The Stephen King classic novel.
It's The Black Tower.
Okay. Yeah, that... I don't know. That design as it is now looks like... If you were doing like a movie about the video game system in 2120, like it's just that. Just a black cube.
Yeah,
it looks like it's a box that's holding like an iPhone or something.
It's the box from Hooli, basically, from Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Well.
So there it is. Yeah, we solved that question.
Well, also this week, PlayStation came out with the logo for PlayStation 5, which
exactly
everyone kind of crapped over because it was just PS5.
Which looks like PSS. In their font.
Yeah.
The piss station.
Wow.
Hey, this is a family friendly show.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Whoops.
I mean, oddly, it has not been in the past two times she's been on. But...
Oh, my God. She's a bigger potty mouth than any of us.
I know.
Hit that drop.
Listen, just...
Todd, sorry.
Where are you?
I was thinking about all these new systems coming out. Hang on, let me hit two buttons for you right here.
Watch your profanity.
Right, I'm sorry.
And then the other.
This is a family friendly show here.
The little scoot at the end of the first one. So great.
But yeah, I'm excited for the piss station. I'll get that when it comes out.
Yeah, I most likely will too.
So, well, maybe not when it comes out, but like,
yeah, year 3 years later when Red Dead Redemption comes out is when I'll be upgrading to the fifth.
When I finally get through more than half of the games I have waiting for me, right. So
which is
I'm getting to the end in sight as long as they don't count Steam. So,
oh well, in that case, you're doomed for eternity. Yeah.
I mean, Steam, if you just log in, they give you 3 free games every day. So,
Steam Pass.
Yeah, they just show up, and that doesn't even include the fact that just free games. There's thousands of just free games with.
Oh, I don't count those. They don't count. That's indie shovelware garbage.
Yeah, most of them are not good, but still, there's a few decent ones. Anyways, I did not receive any mails. So, Todd, did we get an ask?
We did get an ask. Somebody needs our help, so let us ask the Sweet Boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will answer it for you and keep you anonymous. And we got an ask that came in the old inbox, and it's becoming a hot political climate right now. Hot.
Oh, yeah.
Hot political climate. And so I thought we'd get this one done. It might timestamp our episode. We try to stay evergreen, but...
I'm very scared.
And here is the anonymous asker's title of their ask. Their subject is, do libturds actually Lewin know what they are really saying when they act all proud of San Francisco's super high property values?
Okay.
What they are really saying is, hey, look at me. I am one of the few stupid enough to overpay for property so I can live in a literal verifiable crap hole where the city publishes poop maps and warns tourists about drug needles on public buses instead of paying half as much to live in some conservative run city that is clean and safe.
So the ask again is, do they know
what they are really saying?
What they're really saying.
When they act all proud of San Francisco's super high property values.
San Fran's the Frisco. Is that what he's talking about? Huh. How do I answer this?
Oh, maybe it's San Francisco's. You know that? Remember that guy that made that thong song?
Thong Song Man? Yeah.
Thong Song Man. Cisco.
San
Francisco's is his restaurant. Yeah, maybe he has a restaurant in...
where there's poop everywhere?
In San Fran?
In his restaurant?
And he has a poop map?
Yeah, why would he have a poop map at his restaurant?
I mean,
usually there's just a sign saying where the restrooms are. I don't know about an entire map.
I wonder, is poop mapping like geocaching?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Make your deposits all over?
I think there's an app where you can track where you've pooped.
Yeah. Draw your picture on the map.
That could be it.
But is there a game where you can, you know,
get some
poop
badges
in certain places? Get some.
Maybe
yeah,
it's
get
like
some
the challenge where if you eat like a 2-pound steak, you get your picture on the wall. Like if you poop there, you get put on the poop map.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that could work.
Yeah. It seems like a bad promotion for a restaurant to run though.
I kind of want to now. You guys want to invest in a restaurant with me? I have a lot of good ideas.
We can open up Cisco's and other cities besides San Fran.
Yeah. Charlotte, North Carolina is Cisco.
Yeah.
What are you
St. Louis Cisco's.
Tallahassee Cisco's.
Yeah.
Are you going to call it the dump station?
No, it's Cisco's.
Cisco's?
They already have a trademark poop map. I'm not going to. I'm just going to franchise it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to step on their toes. I'm going to get sued.
All right, then.
I feel like we've answered this person's question.
Yeah. I feel like we help them a lot.
That they do know what they're saying when mm-hmm. they say that.
Yes.
That they like a quality restaurant that knows when you poop.
Yep.
They do know.
Yes.
So, let's call it a night. That's a great note to end on.
You're not going anywhere without crossing two streets with me.
Ooh.
You're not going anywhere.
Yeah. It's always best to end on the brown note. I think that's a Hollywood saying.
Yeah, that's I mean, back in CCB DeMille's days, they said never end a podcast without talking brown.
Talking brown.
Yeah. Talking brown means you're going to be talking green the next day.
Ooh. Indeed.
Well, Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off?
Tip from the manual, a help man is hiding somewhere in each stage.
Oh. Todd, how about you, buddy? Is there anything you want to say?
Have you ever played Legend of the Mystical Ninja on weed?
Ooh. Oh, wow. On that trippy note, here is a snifferoo from next week's game.
仲間の数はそりゃやっぱり絶対勝ちに多い方がいい。具体的にはそりゃはっきりしっかりたっぷり151だけどもたまにゃありゃうっかりしっかりばっくり仲間にねと君たちとの手